Well, what a year we have had. You know what? Standing here, looking back, we've had a year like no other in any of our lives. We began this year with possibly the worst bushfires that Australia's ever experienced. We moved straight into the horrors of COVID-19 with the heartbreak of losing over 900 people before their time in our country. Seeing our cities go into lockdown, massive unemployment, recession, and worldwide, of course, the picture's far worse. 1.6 million deaths, cities in lockdown, economies in tatters. It's not the best start to a new decade. You know, there's an ancient Greek legend that I thought was really appropriate for now. It tells the story of how evil things and bad things came into the world. It's the story of the very first woman. Her name was Pandora. She was created by one of the gods as a present for one of the men called Epimetheus. He was the brother of the very first man. She was given the attributes of beauty, elegance, curiosity, deviousness, and craftiness. And she was designed to actually bring division between the two brothers. She came to Earth with a beautifully decorated jar, which in later versions turned into a box. It was sealed, and she was instructed never to open this box. Did I mention that one of the attributes was curiosity? She was fascinated by it, and for a while she was content to just look at it and enjoy it. But one day, the temptation became too great, and she broke the seal and lifted the lid. Immediately, a whole host of horrific evil flew out. Disease, war, sickness, famine, death, hatred. They came to plague humanity forever. And horrified, Pandora slammed down the lid of the box, trapping one last thing inside. There was a small blessing hidden in the bottom of the box. Hope. The gods had placed hope inside it as a comfort for all of those who were facing the evil things that life would bring to them. And I think that's a pretty relevant story for us today. I want to talk to you about a living hope. So, what is hope? Dictionary tells me that hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. There is confident expectation of fulfillment and anticipation of the anticipated outcome. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 6:19 that the hope that we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope sure and steadfast. Hope gives us a confident and joyful expectation of what's going to happen in the future. Let me introduce you to a man called Job. Okay. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very, very many servants. So that this man was the greatest of all people in the East. That's Job 1, verses 1 to 3. He had every right to have a confident hope for the future. Everything looked rosy, but he thought that things would continue as they were forever. But everything changed in the blink of an eye. One moment he was a happy, prosperous man with a great future in front of him, but then in an instant he lost everything that he held most dear. In a series of catastrophic disasters, his sons and daughters were struck down. when a great wind collapsed the house that they were in. All of his livestock were killed or taken by enemies. His servants were killed while trying to protect their master's belongings. And as a final blow, Job had his body covered totally in horrific sores. His best friends tried to convince him that he'd done something terribly, terribly wrong. This was divine retribution, and he needed to repent before God. Even his wife gave up on him, and she said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." Now that's support for you, if ever there was. I wonder how we'd react if we found ourselves in this situation. Just the mozzies are enough to drive us to distraction at the moment, trying anything that'll give us relief, endless complaining. But you know what? It's often said that in the centre of all the trouble, you see the true nature of a person. When they're in the middle of testing circumstances, this was particularly true of Job. These were his words in the middle of all that trial and tribulation. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him." That is amazing faith. If anybody had hope, if anyone had cause to lose that hope, it was Job. But for him, his trust and hope in God were truly that anchor for his life. As a result, God restored his fortune. He gave him double what he'd had before. Job lived to a ripe old age. He enjoyed more children. He enjoyed grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And God blessed his latter days far more than his beginning. Another person who had no logical reason to hope for the future was Abram. When he left his father's home, his land of his father's, he headed out into the unknown. He was 75 years old. God had said to him, "I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonours you, I will curse. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." But as he journeyed on through the land of Canaan, dealing with famines and battles, family problems, God's problem didn't seem any closer to fulfillment. And when the opportunity arose, Abram brought up the subject with the Almighty. We find that story in Genesis 15, 1-6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Fear not, Abram, I'm your shield, and your reward will be very great." And Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me? I continue childless. The heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Behold, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him then. "That man will not be your heir. Your very own son will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look to the heavens, number the stars if you are able to number them." And then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Well, that was really positive, and Abram's hope was renewed. But, you know, when he turned 85, he still had no son on the horizon. So he took things into his own hands, and he produced a son through his wife's servant. So much like what we do when we try and make things happen on our own. We take God's word, and rather than wait patiently for God's timing, we try and do it ourselves. We try and make it happen. And often the consequences are less than desirable. Abraham found that out with his efforts. His son Ishmael did indeed become great, and some of the Arab kingdoms traced their whole lineage back to him. But that was not God's plan for him. It took another 14 years before God spoke again to Abram, and this time God emphasized his word by changing Abram's name and his wife's name to cement the idea in their minds. Abram becomes Abraham, the father of many nations, and Sarai becomes Sarah, or noble woman of high rank. God decreed, "Behold, my covenant is with you. You will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer will your name be called Abram. Your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you a nation, and kings will come from you." And so it was. At the ripe old age of 100, Abraham became a father, and Sarah gave birth at the age of 90. It's a bit of an eye-watering proposition. You know, Sarah, when she was told of all this, she laughed. She just could not believe it. She stood in her tent when the angel was announcing it, and she just cracked up. And, of course, the angel found out and told her off. But when she gave birth, this is what she said, and I love it. She said, "God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me now. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I've borne him a son in my old age?" You know, it didn't come immediately. They had to stay faithful. They had to hope that God was who he was and would bring about what he said he would achieve. God took away her social stigma, and he gave them hope for the future. Paul said thousands of years later, "In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which has been spoken." And often we say that, in hope against hope. It means hoping in spite of everything seemingly going against it. Hope and faith go hand in hand. As both Abraham and Job found out, and we also know, life is very unpredictable. It's filled with many, many challenges. We can ask God for something, but if our prayer isn't answered straight away, what about then? What do we do? This is where godly hope comes in. We believe that if we prayed in line with God's will, then it will happen at the right time. Remember that definition of hope. It is a confident expectation of fulfillment and anticipation of expected outcome. And I will add, based on the certain knowledge that God is faithful and we have seen and experienced his love and our provision in his lives. We know that, and we just believe it and hang on to it. Lamentations is a book I don't dip into all that often, but you know, the writer of Lamentations really knew what life was all about. In chapter 3, he talks about his experiences. Listen to this. "He's made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. And I'll say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord." He's been through a really tough time. I can't imagine what it was that made him grind his teeth on gravel. But within the space of 2 verses, it changes. "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I will hope in him. Can we say that today? Can we say that today? Yes, it's got to be a resounding yes. No matter what we've gone through, we know God is faithful. We have experienced his love and his goodness in our lives. We just celebrated Christmas with the joy and the hope that the birth of God's Son brings to us every year. When Jesus was born, the angels announced good news of great joy for all people. You know, the shepherds dropped everything and raced off to worship the newborn baby. The wise men left home and they travelled countless thousands of kilometres to bring gifts to the king. But within 2 years, Jesus, Mary and Joseph were on the run from murderous King Herod. The season of peace and joy ended abruptly for them. They fled to Egypt to save the life of their son. And did they despair? No. Because all along God sent them reassurances, messages of comfort and warning through an angel, messages for the future. Both Joseph and Mary knew that what God had said before had come true. They knew they could trust in his word. Therefore, they could hope for a peaceful return to their own country one day when God gave them the all clear. God's word is to be trusted, believed, relied upon, and lived out in our lives. We might not get a direct message from an angel, but he has given us his word in the Bible, and that is there to light our path through life. The writer of Psalm 130 said, "I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. In his word I put my hope." That's our guidance for the future. We have a living hope that encourages and draws us on into what God has planned for us. A much loved verse. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you'll call on me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." That's an amazing set of verses that should be highlighted, I think, in everyone's Bible. See, God has it all planned up. If you're not convinced why that we should confidently hope and trust that God has got our futures all taken care of, listen to what Peter tells us. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And that inheritance is kept in heaven for you." 1 Peter 1:1-3. You know, when Peter wrote that, he was experiencing incredible hardship and persecution. And yet the tone of that verse is so triumphant and joyful. Peter knew, perhaps better than a lot of people, in spite of all the difficulties, all the trials, all the problems, that his hope in Jesus as the author and perfecter of his faith would give him all he needed to sustain him and to endure whatever lay before him. He knew he was more than a conqueror in every single situation. He had faith in his Lord and the assurance that Jesus was with him no matter what lay ahead. So, how do we hope when everything looks a bit hopeless and bleak? Three things to remember. Number one, we can rely on God's constant presence with us. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13 verse 5. The rest of the verse says, we will confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What man can do to me? Sorry, that's Psalm 23. Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. It doesn't get any better than that. No matter what we go through, we can rely on God constantly being with us. The second thing, we can trust in God's provision for us. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God's provision has no limit and no end date. And number three, third thing, you can rely on God's power in every situation. Paul covered it in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. That's Jesus speaking. I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ will rest on me. John summed it up too when he said, as he is, so also are we in this world. Just think about that for a moment. As he is right now, so also are we in this world. That's amazing. In every situation, we can be as Jesus is. We have God's power with us, working with us in each situation. Presence, provision, and power. Those three things, three words to remember. But they only operate when you bring your situation before the Lord. So make sure that you do what Peter told us to do and cast all of your cares on him, for he cares for you. You must give your fears, your worries, your anxieties into his hands and then let go, hands off. Let's just return to our key verse again in 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And the inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Our hope is not just for the future of this world. We have the ultimate reassurance that we have an inheritance in heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for each one of us. He came to earth and he experienced life as a human being with all of its joys and all of its trials. Although innocent of the charges brought against him, he was condemned to a horrific death and died on the cross so our sins would not be held against us. And then he broke the power of death forever by rising from the dead and returning to be with our Father in heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'll come again and I will take you to myself that where I am, you may be also. That is our living hope. No matter what 2021's got in store for us, God's taken care of it already. His plans for our future are plans that give us hope and stretch to eternity. Let's take the advice of the writer of Hebrews who said, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let's walk boldly into the new year together, knowing that we walk into it with the presence, the provision, and the power of a loving Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that as your word goes forth, it changes hearts and lives. Father, I just pray that the word for today will give people a living hope, that when things look a bit bleak or down, that they will turn their eyes to you and that they will know that you are the Father of all, that you are the mighty God of all creation, and that you hold our future in your hand. Thank you, Lord, that today is the first day of the rest of our lives, Lord, and we're going to walk into it confidently, knowing that you are our God and that you are our Father. In Jesus' name we pray these prayers.